I'd like to direct your thoughts as we come to the administration and distribution of these elements. I'd like to direct your thoughts to an incident in the Gospels, particularly right at the end of the Gospel by Luke. And it involves a wonderful account of two disciples on the day of Christ's resurrection, of which they knew nothing for sure. But these two men, if there was two men, it might have been a brother and sister, were not told. One of them was a man called Cleopas. The other was a companion, perhaps a sister or a brother. And they were going back from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus, which was about 7 or 8 miles away. So it was quite a trek. And they were going back, you might expect, very wearily. Their heads were down. They wondered what was going to happen. Jesus had died upon the cross, and they wondered what was going to happen to his work. And a stranger draws near to them and starts to engage them in conversation. And you're aware of it from Luke chapter 24. They didn't know who he was. Their eyes were holding that. They didn't understand that this was Jesus. They wouldn't have been expecting Jesus to be there. They had heard a rumor or stories about how he was risen, but they didn't know this for sure. And their downcast feelings were exposed by this stranger who appeared to be a stranger who came alongside them. And he rebukes them in one place. He says, certain which were with us to the sepulchre and found it so, the women said, but him they saw not. Then he said to them, after they'd come out with all this question, this doubting about what was going to happen and what had happened to Jesus, he said, foolish ones, and slow in heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. And this was part of the rebuke. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? That was the heart of it. The sufferings of Christ and then the glory that would follow. This had been predicted. They should have known this. Despite the fact that they were rebuked, when it came to their house, he was going to be passing on, and they prevailed upon him to come in, to give him hospitality, to give him supper. And they still didn't understand that this was Jesus until their eyes were opened and they knew him and vanished out of their sight. How was that so? Well, came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Their eyes were opened. They recognized in the breaking of the bread, this wasn't a Lord's Supper, of course, but just in the act of the breaking of the bread, they understood who he was. What happened to them? They were changed. Not downcast anymore. They realized that he was alive. He was alive. And what was the impact upon their lives? They did not our heart burn within us? The burning heart. The burning heart. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened the scriptures? You see, despite the fact that he was rebuking them in this walk to their house in Emmaus, they were still keen that he should come in. No doubt for the purpose of communing with him, learning more of him. But then, when it was clear that it was Jesus, what a difference that made. Their hearts burned within them. Let us have a burning heart as we recognize that Jesus is indeed with us. He is no stranger. He is the Savior of his people. And he has promised that I will be with you to the end of the age. He promises his presence in the ordinances. We're meeting with Christ. We're meeting with Christ. And it is his ordinance. It is his ordinance. And it is his invitation. We might say, if it's not stretching things too much, that it was as if he invited himself in. It was as though he was going to move on. But he certainly invites us to his table. He invites his own to his table to remember his death. But to remember not just his death, you see, it's till he come. We always must remember that whenever we think of the death of Jesus, the accomplishment of his death was sealed by his resurrection from the dead, that we have no just dead Savior, but a living Savior, one who is alive, and the expectation of the believer as they sit at the table and remember his death as the basis of their acceptance and reconciliation is only till he come, because he's coming again. That is their expectation. He is coming again, and there are no Lord's Suppers in heaven. No Lord's Suppers. It's only till he come. It's only till he come. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And may that be your experience as you sit around his table this Lord's Day. Well, as we read in the scriptures, the Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, well, Jesus taught these disciples on that road to Emmaus, and he made himself known to them in the breaking of bread. As you can imagine, this made quite an impact on them. Here they were, their hearts were now burning. We read there in verse 32, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Did it just stop there? Did it just end there? Was that all that there was to it? What did they do? What impact did it make? How did they react to it? We read in verse 33, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. In other words, they couldn't keep this to themselves. Their concern was to share what they had experienced, what they had experienced of the Lord's teaching and the Lord's presence. And as you leave the table today, may that be the same, may you have the same spirit as these disciples on the road to Emmaus. Because although the day was far spent, we read, this is why they had asked this stranger to come in and sup with them. The day was far spent, though it was far spent, and they'd already walked the better part of 8 miles. They were so full of it that they went back to Jerusalem. All the way back, 7 miles back, to tell them what Christ had done for them in their experience and how, in effect, he had transformed them from being downcast with their heads drooping to those whose hearts were on fire for him. Oh, that as we leave the table, there be something of this mantle upon us, that we would have that sort of zeal and burning heart with a desire to tell what the Lord has done for us, what the Lord has done for our souls, what wonders he has done to deliver us from darkness to light, to deliver us from the power of the evil one to the kingdom of his Son. How can we stop from speaking and singing about him? How can we hesitate to share the story of what he has done for us to all that are around us? May we have something of that as we leave the table of the Lord, remembering his death till he come, remembering what he has done in love for the salvation of such wretches as we are. And when you've been delivered from such a wretchedness, how can you stop speaking of it and commending this wonderful Savior? So may you have the burning heart. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, saying, told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And he is known to us in the breaking of bread as well, because it reminds us of what he has done for our salvation, and it is till he come, because he has risen from the dead. His work is finished, and the salvation of all his own is secure. May the Lord bless these thoughts upon his word. Now let us, as we rise from the table, let us sing.